Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You bring it, you stole mine.
I got mine.
What's that?
You stole mine.
I gave it back to you.
I got mine.
Okay.
Well, that's not it.
Oh, sorry. Is that one it?
It's not right. That's something different.
Oh, thanks.
What did I give you? No, you took mine to come.
Oh.
This one didn't put on the agenda, but these are cards for certificates here that is on January 26th, which is next Thursday. So I wanted to let you know that.
I'm like, yeah, the teacher had this on. Oh, we can use some dress.
I'll call the meeting to order. I'll stand and sing the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, and with liberty and justice for all.
Tracy, you want to come up?
Hi, Beth.
Hello.
This is just to set up our Board of Finance committee for the year. Bud is our current president, and if you would like to open the meeting.
I'd like to open the meeting of the Board of Finances. And
we need to do an election of officers, such as president and secretary, for this coming year.
Okay.
We have any nominations for president?
Okay, nomination for president.
I'll nominate Bud.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Motion carried.
Okay.
Need nominations for vice president? Or is it secretary?
For secretary.
Secretary.
Any nominations?
Few. Can you do that in any case?
I can. Normally the treasurer is. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Who made the motion?
Motion carried.
Who made the motion? You did?
Yeah, I did.
No, I can. But it had
to. Yeah, but then.
I second.
Yeah. And Jared made the motion for Bud for president. You have in your packet our current report of investments and interest from the calendar year 2016, showing how much was invested for 2016 and how much which is still currently invested, and how much we earned in interest. The total investment interest, as you can see, was $34,478.85. And then our county general interest so far as of 2016 was $79,651.25 of a total investments and interest of $114,130.10. They also request any warrants that we have outstanding that are more than 2 years old, we can receipt back into the funds. I just need a motion to receipt back, and you should have a listing of those as far as the outstanding warrants from 2014 that need to be receipted back into the fund since they have not been cashed.
We need a motion then?
Yes.
I guess. To okay. Receive them back into the...
They're not present in this part, so you can make those motions.
Oh, I can. Okay. Well, I'll make a motion to accept these more outstanding warrants to the Board of Finance.
Can I second? I'll second it.
Okay.
All in favor?
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And then we also have a current investment policy. It's just what we've been using the last few years. I didn't know if you folks wanted to look over it, make sure that there's nothing that you might want to suggest making any adjustments to it. We can do that at the next meeting after you've had a chance to look over it. And then at that time, we can either adopt it or make your changes. So that way you'd have a copy of it. And then also, every odd year, we have to bid out our cash management account. Currently, First National Bank of Monterey has it. What I do is I send out a legal advertisement in the paper, and then I also send out letters to the area banks, even like Lake City over Madarieville, in the county banks, and then see if they want to bid on it. What we'll do is have a meeting, possibly the second meeting in February, and then open up the bids and decide which ones give us the best options as far as interest and things like that. And then you guys would decide, and then in the March meeting, the first March meeting, we would decide who would get the bid. Does that sound like something we could do?
Sure.
Sound good? Okay. Do you guys have any questions or issues or any discussion regarding anything I've given you tonight?
I don't either.
Okay.
I'll read this over and tell you all
that. Okay. That'll work. I'll get with Laura and figure out when the second meeting is, since you're going to set up your meetings tonight. And I'll let you know. And in the meantime, I'll get my ad out and my letters to the banks, and so we can get bids in for the area banks from there. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nikki Larry.
Hello.
Hello. How are you this evening?
Okay. First of all, I want to apologize. When I looked over the email that I sent you, I realized that I didn't attach the right stats. It didn't have December's totals on it. So I have those for you. You should have got the budget.
We couldn't divide them anyway.
Huh?
We couldn't divide it anyway.
I didn't get one.
You didn't get
I got one that didn't have December.
See, we've been having problems.
Gotcha. Okay.
We did not get anything from that.
I didn't get a return. What I can I can make copies here real quick for you. Kevin, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I made a staple remover.
All right.
That will work. Thank you. Generally, what I do is I will email to you our monthly reports, financial reports.
If it's anything like mine, it may work.
While we're waiting, can I get you guys to smile? We need an update for the county website. Unless you want to put the commissioners on that page.
Well, let's go ahead.
Oh, you guys look like you're actually enjoying yourselves.
Yeah.
What's that?
You gotta get rid of that picture then.
Don't be so cynical, Ken.
What I can do is I can go back to the office and make copies and get these to you. Did you get the stats? These copies for you? That should have came through. Unless, does your copier work downstairs? It does. Do you want to make if you want to make copies for these two gentlemen, please. When we totaled up for the end of 2016, between our operating expenses and what we brought in payment-wise, there was a difference of $225,000. So after Laura makes the copies, you guys can kind of take a look at that. But that's what we came up with operating expense, is what it costs pretty much. The county overall was $225,000 to run a paramedic service with three trucks. I don't think that's too bad at all, considering the issues that we have. The paper that you have right there, feel free to change. This is what the last commissioners came up with, just to kind of give you an idea of what we do per month. The first one, the first page, kind of breaks down our calls into different types, like the transfers, how many scene flights we have. Medic 1 and Medic 2 are our primary trucks. Those are the 24-hour trucks. Medic 3 is our third truck that runs right now from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and is generally staffed with part-time people. They back the 911 trucks up, but they will take transfers and kind of give our primary crews a little bit of relaxation, you know, so if they're up all night running, then they're not running all day and all night. Further down, you can see I broke it into transfers that Medic 1, which is our Winnemac truck, take, and then the Francisville truck, and then the transfers that come out of the hospital. When we have the third truck available, if the hospital does not have a transfer going out, if IU start calls, we'll go ahead and take that one. That's an additional revenue that comes into the county. And then the bottom, the denied transfers, I kind of broke that down to give you an idea. Depending on the level of service, an ALS call, and it's all based on Medicare, Medicaid reimbursement. We charge like $1,200 to $2,200, depending on the level of care. So we do recoup some of that, but that's kind of why we broke down the transfer, so you can kind of get an idea of, if you look, we denied a total of 107 ALS transfers last year. Thank you. Okay. So if you want something else on that, that's fine. I have it on a spreadsheet. I can very easily change it. The second page is kind of broke down more toward the hospital. It's kind of repetitive, some of the information, but then we also break down into how long it takes us to get to a scene, how long we're on scene. It's totally up to you. If you guys wish to continue to see that, that's fine. If not, you know, I'm here to whatever is going to make it easiest. But as you can see, for the year of 2016, we had 1,653 calls. So over 1,600 calls.
That's a lot of calls.
I had the total. I wish I had went further back, but for 2014, we had 1,059. 2015, we had 1,504 calls. And in 2015 is when we started the third truck. So, as you can see, the calls are increased. So is the revenue and some of the expenses, but like I said, that third call is staffed with part-time people, so.
Right. You know, ambulance is running okay now, or are you still having?
As far as I know, they're running well. I haven't heard of anything.
So uptown was able to help you?
Yeah. Out at Goebbels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So far, I haven't heard anything. Back to the budget. I'll kind of explain. You'll have an overall budget, is what I give you. So every month you'll see our starting balance and then what we have at the remaining of that month. And like I said, this is 2016. The next page is our expenses month by month, and it's broke down into our categories. The ones that we kind of have a fluctuation is patient care supplies, because that falls onto how many calls we have, the nature of the calls, how much equipment and stuff we use. The third page is our payments, and it's kind of broke down into Medicare, Medicaid, insurance, private pays. We do have Mr. Murphy's office doing collections for us, so you'll see that on that piece of paper. And since we accept Medicare, Medicaid, we do have consignment, so that's why you'll see the write-offs. I don't know if you guys know, but we do accept payment plans, so we have some people that pay $5 a month, and we keep their account open, so...
pay what they can.
They pay what they can.
You have a lot outstanding.
I don't have... I can get that total to you, but I would say we probably, in ballpark, maybe 150 that are out that somebody's paying or they're at collections.
That's not all this last year. This is over several.
It is over, yeah. The collection, and this is before your guys' time, the collection firm that we had didn't really go after. So we had some of those. Well, it was, what, 20? When did we start using Murphy? Do you remember? Was it 2013?
Yeah.
So we've recovered.
Okay.
The next page is patient write-offs. It kind of explains what we write off. Bankruptcy, if they don't have insurance, secondary insurance. For the most part, we do not take anyone to collections if they have less than 250. It's not going to be worth our time. And I apologize, I totally spaced. I do have a billing policy that I will send to you guys so you can read over it. I will need updated signatures since it's changed. And the last page kind of breaks it down, you know, how much what we had for the December. And then the very last page, this page right here is off of our new billing software. And the last page, that was from our old.
Okay.
So you may see that occasionally where it says Cityscape. That was our old billing. So you may see some flip through that way. So any questions on the report? Like I said, feel free if you want something, you know, you're interested in something else, I can easily change those. However, you guys would want my department to report. Just to bring you up to speed, we're waiting on 2016's Medicaid reimbursement. We're looking at $38,569.72 that we are to receive. So in the last 2 years, without paying, I believe we pay Malcon $5,000 to do those reports. For 2015 and 2016, you're looking at an additional $83,198 that we brought in. So, just to kind of keep you up to speed, I know, Jerry, you asked about the trucks. Trucks are running well, I think. Yesterday was a holiday. The Sabatines came out yesterday and started the drain in the garage. So hopefully that will work. But eventually we're going to have to look into doing something with the parking lot, because it is such fine gravel that we're continually dragging gravel from the garage into the basement. So that's something, and of course the bay doors, and, you know, it's kind of like everything is starting to get too small for us. I write everything down, sorry. I kind of wanted to, and I know it's up to the council, but I apologize, I don't have the exact numbers, but, and I understand this is your second meeting, first meeting with me, but would you be opposed if I opened that third truck to run 12 hours at night? So it would be a 24-hour truck, so we would have three 24-hour trucks, but that third truck would be staffed with part-time at night also.
Do you have enough people to currently do that?
I have some that would prefer to work nights. I couldn't guarantee that it would be staffed almost every day like it is now. Right now, we're kind of in a paramedic shortage throughout the state, so we're not getting a whole lot of paramedics anywhere. Basic EMTs are numerous. What we could do is we could staff it with a basic if it comes in as a, and at night we would only take transfers from the hospital. We could throw a medic on that transfer and then still have one medic in the county. Right now, currently, after 8 p.m., if they get a transfer, we're down to one truck in the county. And the run volume is starting to increase that I don't know what the liability is going to be if we only have one truck. We used to have a backup service in the area. Now you're looking at least 20 to 30 minutes for your additional truck to come in. So, as my boss says,
we have enough funding to do that.
It would come out of the part-time, like I said.
I mean, you got enough money in the part-time to cover.
We should. I mean, we would have to see how many people are interested in doing that. We may only have it two nights a week, and then we might be down 2 days during. You know, it's hard to say.
But it would definitely be cost-effective in your eyes to do this.
Yeah. In the long run, I believe so.
Okay, not trying to put words in your mouth.
No, but in the long run, just with the fact, yes, we do have a signed mutual aid agreement with Fulton County, but we can't guarantee that they would have a truck. So then you're looking at, if you have a call, two calls here within Plaskett County, who's going to wait? So that's something to entertain. So kind of think it over, let me know your thoughts. You know, I mean, we don't have to implement it like tomorrow, but that's something that we've been talking about, the liability of having only one truck available at night.
And you say just a couple nights a week, two or three nights a week?
It's hard to say. It all depends on how many people are interested. We could have it staffed every night. I don't know. It's hard to say. It all depends on... sorry. It all depends on people's availability. Because a lot of our part-timers work elsewhere. So, and then with the cap, they can only work 20 county policies, 28 hours. That means they can only work two shifts for us. So that limits.
So you might be stretched a little bit. Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, I think it should be something that we should consider moving forward with.
Well, I don't want to make a rash decision, but if you think it'd be cost effective, I mean,
well, why don't you look into see how many people you're going to have, you know, and see how
and see how many we can staff and yeah. and how much that's going to hurt during the day. I mean, like I said, we can get basics, not a problem. is the medics that we're really
struggling. You want to see how it's going to work out, but you don't want to cut yourself short. They've got too many hours in and they can't work. And you,
and that's,
if you could sit down and,
try to figure out,
you know, some kind of a schedule.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Because you never know, you know, if you get a call at 7 o'clock.
Sick, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've got one off right now on workman's comp. They're off until at least the middle of February.
Put you in the line.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, and everybody now has vacations, and so we use our part-time people for that. So, that's one thing. And then the last thing I have is I am going to flip hats. I was nominated to be the chair for the safety committee for the county. We have a meeting February 14th. You guys are more than welcome. I know Jerry was there at the last one. I think it's very beneficial of what we're doing. And I have received some issues from...
Very good. I was going to ask you.
I have from several departments.
Very good.
Just giving you a heads up, I'm going to make an appointment for the joint, so you guys can be informed of the concerns that some, and I know the you have to prioritize, but this is some things that are that need to be looked into. So if you have any safety concerns, let me know.
Well, I'm glad you're getting feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy for that.
I'm still working on my department right now, but I've had three departments.
Okay. So you got the word out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And some of them came in that very next day.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So.
Then it helped us out. And they have the problem now.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, I'll be more than happy to do whatever. Like I said, during that meeting, you know, our claims have dropped. It saves us in the long run. So if we have the support, we'll continue. So.
Very good.
Anything from me?
Bud, you got any questions?
I have a question. I was looking at payrolls, Nikki. Is it the payrolls? Is it sometimes the schedules just fall in line? I see a couple of people draw more overtime pay than they do regular pay. Is it just the way the schedule works?
It depends, yeah. Some will pick up an extra shift. And I understand you guys don't have anything to do with policy committee. They'll pick up, if they have to take a vacation day, one of their checks will be short because their overtime is factored into their PTO time, so they actually only get a day at the regular pay. So they'll pick up a shift. Vacations, like I said, Tina's been off since December. So covering her shift, if a part-timer can't do it and we need a medic, one of the full-time medics will pick it up. So it does vary depending on the holiday and how their rotation works, because they work 24 off 48. So, you know, if they pick up an extra 12 at the beginning, then they'll have overtime.
And they have that right to pick the overtime? Or would they pick up?
We have to have those trucks staffed. So... if there's nobody to do it, then a full-timer will pick up. But what we try to do, for the most part, is have a part-time person pick up. So.
And one other question. Jeff Johnson was talking to us. He's not here, but you need bigger bays for the
campuses? Yes.
How soon? Are you getting by now, or next one comes in, it's going to be too far?
Yeah, I may have to, by the end of the year, come and ask for additional. summer's not too bad. It's the winter weather, when we get ice in front. You're looking at maybe that much on each side to back it in.
With
the meters. On both sides, yeah.
How about that? Do you have plenty of room?
Right now, with the current trucks, yes. The one that we have trouble with is our backup one, which is our 2009, and that's the one that's put the hole in the drywall, because in order to shut the garage door, that truck has to, that back bumper has to be completely up against the wall. And if you get a little bit of ice, you know, it comes in. But that's something, because depending on when the council says I can get a new truck, they're not going to fit, because the chassis are getting taller, and we've already had to take one of the garage door, the railings out, so we could get the truck in. So it's going to be, we have definitely outgrown that building. Definitely.
Thank you, Nikki.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Terry, you're up.
I think everybody but Terry knows Jeff Larson.
Yeah, we've met.
Jeff Larson, Jeff Larson, and the United Council on our bridges.
Thank you.
Jim is the, because our engineer led the team, led the inspections on this round of bridge inspections. And this will basically wrap up our four-year contract that we have with Glasgow County. We inspect all the bridges every 2 years, and this is, like I said, the second phase of that. And there are some bridges that need to be inspected every year now because of some NDOT standards, actually, federal highway standards that have been placed on them. So this will finish up the reporting for you guys. We'll still be under contract till pretty much, I think it's the end of this year. And if anything comes up, you have a high water event, you need, we're still under contract to come out and review things if needed. But this report will pretty much take care of all the inspection work that we're under contract to do. So right, I'll turn this over to Jim and let him go through all the details and get to ask some questions.
Sure. So what you have in front of you is all set of the four bridges in Glasgow County, the reports for that. What you might be more interested in is in the front cover, it's a two-page summary. So basically, we've summarized everything that's in all those pages there. The first page kind of highlights the bridges that we think are in higher need of replacement or rehabilitation. And then on the back side is a summary of how Glasgow County compares with the rest of the state of Indiana. So if you want to look that over, if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer any of those for you.
Where are we rated at now? We used to be pretty high at one time.
Well, if you look at the percentages compared to Indiana, Alaska is not doing too bad.
Your average age is right in the ballpark. And, let's see. You guys have 74 bridges. The county average across the state is 142, so fewer bridges, which is a good thing. You have a few bridges. Your percentage is a little over as far as bridges over 50 years old, and that's kind of maybe the number to look at as far as that. So now is the time to really start paying attention to stuff as far as those go. You have your percentage of posted bridges, though, is below the state average. So that's good. Those posted they have load restrictions as far as cost. And you have a lower percentage as far as sufficiency ratings, less than 50. And less than 50 is where you start really running into problems with bridges. So you guys are, in overall, like Jim said, you're in good shape. What we've been doing, we're tackling Bridge 154 with community crossing money that was awarded to Pulaski County this past year. And we're talking to Terry about targeting potentially another bridge when the next round of community crossing money comes out, where they pay for half of the construction cost for the bridge, which is a pretty good deal. If the numbers look good, then you guys could apply for that funding if everything fits within your budgets. But you're not committed to anything right now. It's all just a matter of evaluating it right at this point. As I mentioned, we're in the process of designing Bridge 154. If you look at your top five bridges on the replacement list, it's on this right page of this thing. 154 is being targeted right now, and we're looking at 251 and 252, but there's just such such low traffic volume on one of these things.
I'm just more concerned about what that one on 400 is out there.
257.
Yeah, 257. It's it has a lot of traffic, a lot more traffic. The condition is such that that might be a good candidate for Union Crossing money.
That's out there by Tony Castle. I don't know. It was kind of a surprise. I bet it's in pretty poor shape. So it's got a lot of 13 ton weight limit on it now. So
yeah.
That road gets a lot of traffic on it, too. And that's the next one we were hoping to look at.
It's on the rehabilitation list, but it's one that it takes some work to rehab. So that's why it moved out. We have some extra copies of these, and if anybody needs these, we can leave them. It's public record, so it's up to you guys. If anybody wants something,
right here.
Pull
them up here.
Councilman wants one.
Nothing wrong with that. We spent some money.
We have
to say there ain't a little pre
expert eyes on this, Jim. We could be in trouble.
Well, these bridges we're talking about, it's like that 400 East thing out there. That's Mill Creek. That's what a culvert in there. You know where I'm getting that. So down the road, we're going to have to replace that bridge out there. That's a big bridge.
Oh, I've been looking at it one time. We had a guy done the bridge inspection, and I looked it up and said, that ain't the right bridge. He said, yeah, it is. Well, the picture had been taken a long time ago. The tree was about this big around then. The tree was like this. I couldn't figure out where it was at.
Who was that? That wasn't us.
No, it wasn't you.
The good thing is that those bridges listed on the replacement list of them. They have a low enough traffic volume that you might be able to not worry about those as much right now and focus on maybe the 257.
And that's one you get the money for, or part of the money for.
Yeah. That might open up again this year, so we'll have to see what
transpires. You can get another one.
Yeah. Helps out a lot. It's about half the cost. So. But we don't really know what all is going to be available this year, so we'll try.
You don't have anything that really... I guess it's good news is you don't have anything that really would need federal aid money. That's where they pay 80% of it, but they put you on all kinds of rules and regulations for it. Bigger bridges like over in Monterey. You don't have anything that's really in that magnitude, which is a good thing because those are more expensive bridges. So overall, you guys are in good shape. Previous regime out there did a pretty good job, I guess.
Really? Taking some of your thunder.
Suck it up for the commission.
Yeah, that's more like it.
Anything else we could answer for you? If anything comes up, after you get a chance to digest, that's a lot of stuff to take in. Either shoot a question to Terry or call me or Jim. I can't remember if I gave you one.
I still got
your. Thank you. If you're having trouble sleeping, I would recommend.
Jeff, Laura would like to have one if you have one.
I was just going to let down his name.
Well, that was it. This is Jeff's.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. Good for now.
Good for now.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity.
Let's figure that out.
This is,
you guys got any questions for him?
No, but I'll show you well.
No problem at all. Like I said, we're still under contract, so if anything comes up between now and then.
I'm going to go home. I still got the old book. Yeah, I'm going to compare notes.
Compare pictures?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Nathan Oranger.
Sorry, Laura, I'm already calling an audible from what I sent to you. Calling a little bit of an audible from what I gave to you. Very first, quickly, Doug, just wanted to come up with, as you know, at the end of last year, we made some updates to the county's zoning ordinance, and we had decided, the planning commission and Doug's staff and I had decided, that it might be nice to have some sort of contractor packet so that, you know, down the road you're building the house and you hire somebody to do it, and we try to prevent any issues with any zoning violations or that by giving packets to every contractor when they're new. And at first we just thought, you know, we just print a packet and charge them for the printing fees, but Doug decided it would make more sense, put them on flash drives. I don't know what all you put on these, but he just told us. So the new fee schedules, everything that
The fee schedule is not yet on that, but everything on the UDO.
And we all have it online too, everything that we've updated. But so,
well, some of them might be alert like me and they can't read, so I mean, you got they can read.
Well,
yes, you got something on paper.
You can always print it off.
Yeah. You can always give it to somebody to read for you. But so Doug just wanted, I know you've got some copies in your office, but wanted to get copies of these to all of you. Sorry.
I want to both publishing people here in town here, and I got the cheapest one, and I would like to have a paper. The paper was, at the time, $200. Or on page 335 of these. So that's why I got thumb drives. Now, you just put in your thing, you know, and you can go to find, and you can do anything you want to.
So knock on wood, moving forward, contractors, homeowner, and it's all public. It's a little bit not quite as accessible for homeowners because we aren't making copies for every resident in Placid County, but knock on wood, we can avoid any issues with any violations, and they'll know from the get-go what the building fees, all the different fees we've got up eventually, and all of the requirements without having to come to me or Doug every time I got a question. You got anything to add?
No.
And I'll continue on with
it. Okay. And then you can go.
Unless you guys have any questions. But
no, I don't. Well, what if somebody comes in, I guess, and like me, don't have the availability of this. Can you look it up for him?
Yes, I could. Okay. Very simple.
And I don't think there's anything that says he couldn't print a copy and charge him just like whatever per copy. Yeah.
But there are some older contractors around that I know too that
didn't
have nothing like that.
We are legally required by the state to have X number of print copies. So there's one in her office, there's one in my office, and a couple in their office. So we already have print copies, and we can always look it up. No, online right there.
Very true. That'll come up from your mind.
Oh, yeah. And we do have people that, and I can do it without a problem. And, if it's only a couple copies, I mean, two or three pages, I'm going to charge.
Well,
I
think maybe 200 things or something to do on
216 pages, you know. Then comes at a low price, too. Because you guys are paying for it. The county's paying for it, so. So this is cheap. Any more?
I don't have anything. You guys have any questions?
I'm trying to save money.
And that's what we like to hear.
Yes, bud?
Is it good for the user? Like an old farmer comes in, we'd be able to help him. It's not sharp with the use.
Yes. I'm sort of lost, but
if somebody's not going to do, like I said, we've got print copies. We can pull it up on the computer if they come into his office or my office or call me. You know, I'm sure how he gets a lot more, but I get an occasional call. I can, while we're on the phone, we can usually look something up. And so if somebody comes in and and no problem to do it anyway. We've got multiple ways of helping.
The nice thing about these thumb drives, they call them thumb drives, or flash drives, whatever you want to call them. If there is a new revision, you can revise it just like that. Instead of making 200 some pages all up, you can just automatically redo that. And I think I'm trying to answer your question, bud. If somebody has a problem, feel free to come to me, my guys,
Nathan,
I'll print out what I need. Because a lot of times they don't need that whole 200 pages. They only need
5 pages.
Depends on what they're doing, yeah.
4 pages. Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Anything else, Jeff?
I don't.
You guys?
I want to answer all your questions. I'm sure you understand.
Don't worry, we'll ask.
All right, moving along. Normally, I won't take up as much time as we will tonight, but with two of you new, and this is my first appointment, I just want to give you an update on everything we have going on. County website, I'm finishing up with the going through all the ordinances resolutions. I think I have 2.5 pages left out of 17. They're like 20 a page, and then they'll get online. Making updates as meeting schedules are adopted, as boards and commissions and councils elect their officers for the year, doing all that. And we're looking at the possibility, and I'll work with RB on this, finding a new host for the website, not making any changes, any costs or changes to the site, but our current host, they've kind of been changing their primary focuses, and websites aren't as important as they used to be. They're focusing more on IT. And I learned on LinkedIn that our account executive left in October and nobody from the company has contacted me since then. Nobody has done some updates on the back end I don't have access to, so we're going to look into find somebody who's a little more responsive and helpful. And then we're also looking at the possibility of our website, I don't know if you're very familiar with it, it's divided into microsites. So there is a specific, it's all PulaskaOnline.org, but there's a specific section, just community welcome, basic information. There's one for economic development, one for tourism, human services has a page, the chamber has a page, and then there's a government page section. We're looking at creating a new one possibly for soil and water. Quentin had contacted me and his board wants a new website, and they thought it would make sense just to be part of the Pulaski County website instead of having a standalone one. So we'll be moving forward on that soon. Industrial Park on the west side last week, and interrupt me anything questions, otherwise I'm going to talk kind of fast so we can get through this. Last week at the council meeting I presented a rough timeline for developing and attracting tenants if we move forward with it, and Jay Sullivan, I think you guys were said that he'd like for us to talk at a joint session so that we can all be in on the conversation at the same time. Business retention networking groups and efforts, I don't know if you guys are aware, I work with two kind of ad hoc informal groups, a human resources group in the county that we started last year, and an industrial forum we started a few years ago. Working with a human resource group on developing a comprehensive cross-sector wage and benefit schedule so that companies know whether it's manufacturer to manufacturer, just general entry-level, mid-level, high-level, what kind of competition they're facing as far as providing pay, holidays, et cetera, to make them more competitive in hiring. And also, so on our end, if we've got a company who's looking at Pulaski County to come here or to other counties, they'll have fairly new data regarding what wage scales are like here, and they can compare that to in other counties. So that's going on. And then Industrial Forum, we're working with Ivy Tech on potentially creating an industrial leadership certificate. Primary focus of that group over the last couple of years has been training, mostly for incumbent workers. So Braun and PT and Galbeck and Galfab and Fire, they'll send a couple of their employees to each of these classes on supervision, communication skills, that sort of thing, trying to build their internal leadership pipeline. And there are 4 classes right now. We may add a 5th if we come up with one, but they'll have the opportunity if a student, an employee, successfully gets through all of them to get a certificate, and then it'll be up to individual employers whether getting that certificate means you get a raise or a bonus or what. And if we can launch that successfully, we're going to work with Work One and any other organization to open that to the general public. So I'm laid off or I'm right out of school looking for a job, and if I can do this either with my own money or if I get a scholarship from Work One or someone, maybe company will bump me to the high to the front of the interview line if I've got that, or they might start me out 10 cents an hour higher or whatever. That again will be up to the individual companies, but we are working with Ivy Tech on that, and generally I'm continuing our training classes for their employees, and we don't pay for it, they pay for that, we just kind of we host it and we coordinate with Ivy Tech, that sort of thing. I'm calling another audible very quickly, a revolving loan fund at the end of 2016, even though we had a couple of hiccups with one borrower where we go 2 or 3 months without a payment and then play catch-up. All of our borrowers were paid up to date at the end of the year, and we have roughly $82,000 or $83,000 in that fund to make new loans. And assuming that they're all paying, we've got a couple thousand coming in each month and rebuilding that fund. Leadership Pulaski County, I don't know if you're familiar with the extension curriculum that some other counties do. I know Fulton County has one. White County, I think, does. Stark County has one that is an extension, but we've been working with extension. Former commissioner, one of the commissioners previously was on it, Don Street from West Central, and a couple of corporate representatives to start that, we hope, in the fall. And that's just basically a civic leadership, getting more people involved. And part of it is teaching them about the history of their community and exposing them to part, you know, somebody from Star City who maybe never gets to Madarioville or vice versa, exposing that, getting a better understanding of county government, better understanding of state government, that sort of thing. So we're hoping that that will begin in September. It's 10 or 11 courses. Follows fairly strictly, with a little wiggle room, the Purdue Extension curriculum for that. Our RAMTEC program, that is the vocational training program that we established at West Central in repair and maintenance technology. First semester had 33 students. We were hoping 9 to 12 when we got that grant from the state. This semester we have 32. One of them failed, but we had 30. And out of the 32 who passed, 31 of the 32 passed at the Ivy Tech level and received Ivy Tech credits. And, you know, we're talking freshmen and sophomores mostly. We're already getting some technical credits from Ivy Tech. I'm still waiting to find out on that exact number because the state's waiting on a report from me. But we're pretty excited about that. And then I have a meeting with the staff on Wednesday, I guess tomorrow, to do some planning for next stages. Because right now these kids are in really preliminary intro class, and we need to start scheduling when they're going to get into using the modules that are at grant bought and that sort of thing. And then I have a meeting with the state next Monday. We have a few kinks to work out in the grant before we're totally in the clear. We thought we were good, but there's some scheduling things that I didn't catch, and so we're going to try to resolve those next week. And we're also, once we figure out what next year looks like, we're going to work to start getting that open to Winamax students. That was the goal. It's a county fund. It's a county program. County got the grant, not just West Central. We just have to figure out how to make it work with the transportation, and also with the fact that school day here, you know, the first class doesn't start till 8:25 because they have homeroom or whatever at 8, and they get started right at 8 o'clock over there, so there may be some wiggle room, some work we have to do, but obviously we want to make that available to them, and we're going to start planning that. General stuff going on with the CDC. Quick yes, sir.
Sorry.
No.
Got to interrupt. Would it be possible, likely, if one of us wanted to go over there
yep.
and observe?
Larry did last semester for one of them. They love it. They love showing it off. Mr. Pasarisi back there is actually he and plant manager, I think.
Yeah.
They're going to visit and kind of do some, I don't know, show and tell. I don't know what the plan is, but we're working on a lot of corporate visits, and that's part of our grant agreement is getting local manufacturers in there talking to the students when we can work it out, field trips, that sort of thing. But yeah, they're very open to that.
Is that 5 days a week then?
Yep. Right now it is.
And what is ours?
There are two classes. I mean,
8:25, I think, is the first one. They go back to back.
I'll get that. I have a meeting tomorrow. I'll find out and I'll let you know. But their morning classes, there are two of them, and they're more than happy to let you observe. I don't know for certain what time they are this semester. I don't know if they're on the same schedule as last, but I'll find that out tomorrow and I'll let you know. We meet first Tuesday of the month at 6 o'clock, and just want to make sure you commissioners are always invited, and on your appointment list tonight is making a decision whether you'll keep Larry on or replace him with one of you, but all three of you are always invited to attend. They're open to the public.
And what day is it?
We meet on the first Tuesday, generally, on the first Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Most times at my building, but once a year we get to Madarioville, once a year to Francisville, once a year to Monterey. If you'd like, I can just give you that, print out a copy of that schedule and get it to you. Every year we do sort of an annual dinner. We have a guest speaker sort of, and that will be on the second Tuesday of March. I'll get formal invitations out later, but we would certainly like to try to get the commissioners to that. I'll do kind of a year in review, and then we'll have a guest speaker. That'll be the 14th. But like I said, I'll get formal invitations out soon. And we've decided that because it's been so long since any sort of strategic plan has been done, we're going to do some strategic visioning this year. At this point, we're not looking at bringing in a consultant or doing any of that, but putting a committee together and hope CDC members and hoping to get commissioner input, council input, town council input, public input. Just, you know, a lot of what we do the last few years, as we've crossed some of the things off the list of strategic old strategic plan and work to continue on others, is project an opportunity comes our way. We analyze it. If it sounds good, we do it. And, I mean, we're usually within fairly broad boundaries of what is economic development, but we don't have, you know, really targeted goals anymore. And so we want to get back on track and, you know, be able to, even if it's just like a list of three objectives and these are the goals for each objective, keep ourselves on track a little better. And that'll make it easier for me reporting to the CDC and to you guys, too, if, you know, I can say, well, here's where we are on this benchmark, this benchmark, this benchmark. And the last thing is a long thing, tourism and general community development. Wanderer Winnemac and Francis Hills Uptown Project, the two Main Street organizations, I'm involved with both, a little more heavily with the Winnemac group right now, but they've both officially been recognized by the state as Main Street organizations, which opens up the towns to grant opportunities that they did not have earlier. They're both working on programming now for 2017. Kristen and the Farmers Market Board are gearing up for this year's markets. Last year, she got a board together, and they got worked with Justin Tram and Incorporated. Kind of the first time in a number of years there had been a market. And they are actually, Kristen tomorrow night has a meeting with some folks in Francisville. This is faster than we had thought it would happen, but we're trying to get a second market going in Francisville now. I don't know how the scheduling will work, if it'll be in every week in both towns or if they'll alternate. Ultimately, the goal is any community in Plaskett County that wants one will work with to establish it and figure that out. But so, knock on wood, this summer, at some schedule, we'll have a market in Winnemac and a market in Francisville. It was slow going, but there were some pretty loyal vendors this year, and you know, they had a booth at the Fall Festival, and I think that got some attracted them some attention. So we're looking forward to moving that. And she's actually putting together a homemade website for them as well, so that vendors can access the vendor form, people can get information on the scheduling, that sort of thing. In anticipation of this year's outdoor recreation season come spring, summer, early fall, we're getting back on track with the Adopt-A-Ramp program that we had started last year. Anecdotally, you know, we don't have a lot of data to track it easily, but anecdotally, there seemed to be a surge in number of people coming to Plaskett County, especially on the river. Your brother-in-law gave us some heck because of loud. So, you know, rather than wanting to fight it, and try to, we thought, well, why don't we try and find ways to make it so that we encourage people to come down, but we're making sure they're respectful. So one of our interns last summer designed a sign. We're going to get signs printed at all of the ramps. And it's just, you know, common sense stuff like don't litter. Remember that people live along the river, so, you know, have fun, but don't be screaming drunkenly at 10 o'clock at night, that sort of thing.
Certainly not.
And we're also, but the primary crux is that we're going to get trash and recycling receptacles at every point and solicit residents and businesses to adopt them so that once a week, twice a week, depending on how that person or that business goes out there, picks up the, pulls the trash liner, puts a new one in, picks up any trash on the ground. Up in Monterey, I think Lawrence Lehmer is already doing that with a couple of them. Riverside Rentals, they've got a bunch of trash and recycling, and so they said we could sign up there, and we're going to work at all the public access points. And then we get that finished, we're going to work with the Sheriff's Department, I think, and figure out how to do mileage markers for public safety so that if dispatch gets a 911 call that somebody unfamiliar with the area is lost on the river, instead of saying, well, I just passed a white house with a deck along the river, you can say, I just passed mile marker 7, and be a little bit easier for the conservation officer or the local officer on duty to assist that person. We have the grant. We're finishing out our grant from the state, the Hometown Collaboration Initiative project, with our bike routes. The map routes are done. Now we just need to get the maps, get them printed, and get signs made, and that's all covered by those are all grant costs. So those are our next steps. We're just waiting on NDOT. There are a couple of places where we don't just cross the highway, but we're on it for a stretch, and they've kind of been they haven't been clear on the answer. They said it's not a problem if we don't put signs in, but you know, you get out onto 119 by the Catholic Church and Glasgow, and it's just that curve, and then you're back on the county road. Going to be really confusing if there isn't a sign in that highway right away telling somebody to make that turn. So we need to get that. And then last thing, and then I'm done. I've got an expenditure request because I'm asking to spend more than $2,500 or $5,000, whatever the departmental cap is. Last year, in exchange for making a lot of cuts in our budget elsewhere, the council really, really amplified our marketing budget. You know, we had done the Academy of Country Music Awards commercial last year. We've got the commercial and we want to keep marketing the county. So they gave us, after we did an additional last year, a transfer, whatever, did we had like $28,000. So they didn't quite double it, but they gave us $45,000 for this year for marketing. Managed to keep our total budget in line, but I had to make a lot of cuts on other stuff. So we have been working on various options, print, online, and television and radio as well, though we're going to do that in target geographic areas to market Pulaski County. A couple, we're still working out the details, not sure if we like what we've been proposed, but we do have a proposal from Comcast Spotlight, Comcast TV in Chicagoland, to do 10 weeks, not consecutive weeks, it'll be on for a couple, off, on, but 10 weeks over the summer in 9 of their geographic areas on, I think, 9 or 10 TV channels that their data show would be the best for targeting our key demographics, the outdoorsy types, the campers, the hikers, the bicyclists, the canoe floaters, that sort of thing. And so that number is $22,000. It's about half of our budget. It is for 4,074 commercials over a 10-week span plus 15,000 online impressions compared to, I think we did 20,000 last year for one big commercial and maybe a dozen or two dozen small commercials. So that comes out to, I think, a little less than $4.50 per commercial and then like 40 cents per online hit. And so we're looking for permission to do that. Like I said, that'll still leave a little more than half of our budget for that line item intact, and I'm not sure how much of the rest we'll spend, just depending on whether the other options are attractive or not. But CDC really wants us to keep pushing. You know, it's a good way to get money into the communities, and we can get people to come down here and stay at the campgrounds, stay at the, well, not the hotels, but, you know, hit the trail, hit our golf courses, hit the state park, that sort of thing. And so we need your green light on that because of the amount of money.
Do you know how many numbers of people, I know it's going to be hard, that this tourism actually brought in?
It's, like I said, it's really hard other than anecdotally to hear from, you know, from Riverside Rentals telling us what kind of increases they see on people from year to year, or hearing from Bill and Babes about, at least by perception, more traffic on the river. It is harder with television because I don't know, because, you know, on the website we have hit tracking, and I can see that they came to our website from such and such, or they just looked this up on Google. When we, the digital parts of it, I can see, oh, they came from the newspaper website in Fort Wayne, or they came from this site in Comcast TV's broadcast area. That part I can get numbers on, and those were surprisingly good last year once we started hitting the digital. It's harder to quantify without sitting out on the trail or sitting on the river and saying, hey, how'd you find out about this? It's mostly, I mean, I know, I think they, and I cannot say, you know, definitively how much of it was because of our advertising, how much of it was word of mouth, how much other things. You know, I know that, I think it was last year, the state park had close to 140,000 visitors. How many of those were local? I don't know how many saw our ads and came to the website, how many came to the website otherwise, how many just looked up State Park Indiana and found that. But I know that we have 10 times our county's population, at least, in the county for tourism opportunities last year. You know, and then how much of an economic impact that is, depends on, are they here for a day, are they for 2 days? Are they staying at the campground? Are they camping at the state park? Are they coming into the grocery store? Are they coming to eat in town? It, yeah. But, you know, the TV commercials will actually direct them to our website. It'll throw the website URL up there so they can see simplypulaski.org, and we can at least track by area, even if I can't say they came because they saw this commercial. I can see where traffic is coming from, and that's probably actually the most comprehensive part of our county website. It's got every restaurant in the county listed, every both golf courses, every outdoor recreation opportunity, every halfway boutique shop, the theater, anything we've got. Bud, do you have any questions?
Any question for Nathan?
Gary. So I got this straight. Basically, you're spending a hair under half of what the council approved for you.
And if we went with every proposal that is on my desk right now, we would end up spending about 38 to 40 of the 45. But like I said, one of those is basically dead on arrival unless they make some significant changes, and one of them we're going to cut before we consider it, just because it's more money than, I mean, it's not a terribly large sum, but it's more money than I think we'll get value out of it. I think last year when we did the TV commercials, it was literally almost our entire budget, because we did not expect, we didn't know this commercial was going to exist until early last year when it was getting to us.
Have you got any feedback from places like Grant Canoes and stuff that they offer to help you with this advertising?
We have not gone in that direction yet and asked that. It's something we can do. I mean, obviously they stand to benefit from it. But I suppose, I mean, we can ask, and I'm happy to. I guess the only question you get in there too is, what's fair cost sharing from one business to the other? How, you know, how do we measure how much? You know, if they're willing to volunteer a certain amount, it's one thing. But, and of course, the counter maybe, well, we do pay taxes, and all of this is tax money. I don't know. I'm happy to look into that, but we've not had anyone step up and say, here, will you take this check from me? Oh, yeah, I know, but I haven't had anyone without that. Just sort of like, hey, let me give you some money. Now, with our Ramtech program, we actually did it. We just said, here, let me give you some money to help fund that program, because they wanted to see that. But
when you need to know by?
I mean, the first commercial isn't set to air until April, so we have a little breathing room. But I imagine that their scheduling is probably by the March meeting at the latest.
So next, if you have a decision.
Yeah, so that they have enough room to make sure they can start working the first ones into their schedule. And if there's any?
Yeah. Heard all the negative comments about spending that money in the communities last year. But there were some good aspects. A lot of people see them out and flood the river, but was it enough to spend that much money?
No, I don't know. And like I said, what we're doing this year compared to last year, we're not going to have like the one time where there are how many hundreds of thousands of people watching at the same time. But we're going to have a lot more commercials. Like last year, I don't want to know what the cost per commercial was, as opposed to $4.40 a commercial this time.
But do you think the commercials overrule the website?
The best thing, that's the easiest way to get people to the website. People who might not otherwise, you know that Pulaski County is here.
Well, I know the website we run out of the auction business. You cannot believe the people that scan it every night.
Yeah.
Just the website. They don't know. No, we don't have no TV commercial or nothing. But we had a little sale south of town here. We had over 12,000 hits on that. And I mean, it was just a little household sale with a car and a pickup truck. People sit at home at night, the first thing they do is pop that on and dig through there. I don't know if watching that on TV would get them to...
Well, I mean, like I said, it's hard to gauge that, but I had people, friends calling me and say, hey, I saw your commercial on TV. When we're getting out into, you know, especially like as geographically large and as populous as Chicagoland, you know, and we're talking Aurora, Naperville, we're talking Schaumburg, it's really hard if somebody up there has never heard our commercial, unless they just type in, you know, Indiana vacation destinations, and we're lucky enough that that comes up in their Google search, and they pick that over, like, Brown County or something. It's hard to know how many of them are ever going to know that our website's there. If you guys want to tail, you know where the office is, any other questions you have?
Well, what about, like, instead of just all Chicago, why do you know, like South Bend and stuff like that?
So we haven't, South Bend is one area we have not targeted. This will cover Valparaiso, Southern Lake County, mm-hmm. and then seven sectors of the Chicagoland. And part of it was just that you're getting a little bit farther away, and you imagine that not as many people know us, and you're just getting a larger viewing audience in Chicagoland, and while still being close enough to make a day trip of it. You know, like in Fort Wayne, we've done some digital and magazine. South Bend is on our list. We have not targeted that area yet. That's certainly something we want to look into. But Chicagoland, just in terms of sheer number of people, you know, viewing TV, that's the... And it's, you know, it's close enough to get out of the city, but not so far that they can't make just a day trip out of it.
Have you ever thought about going south with your advertisements?
That's an argument in the office. I say yes. Kristen is skeptical that if we go too far south, people are going to say, well, Brown County offers everything that's on that Pulaski County is offering. Why are they going to go this way as opposed to that? I'm up to it. I'm open to it too. That's it. And I did not mention, but one thing we're working on, and this is part of the state agreement on that hometown collaboration issue, is we're just going to be setting up a tourism advisory council. So it's just not Kristen and I making all the decisions and bringing recommendations to the CDC and the DU. But so we'll have people like Connie from Riverside Rentals and somebody, maybe Jim from Jasper Pulaski, restaurant owners, people who actually are directly involved. We just haven't had time to get that group together, but in the future the hope is that they will offer the suggestions, you know, and if Tommy says, well, X number of our guests come from central Indiana, we'll start kind of molding our proposals based on where we want to look based on that. But until that, we can only go with what we know and what we've witnessed anecdotally. And we know that we get a lot of north of 30 traffic and Chicagoland traffic.
Have you done any research? What does it cost to clean up that park after the weekend?
I have no idea.
I don't see any need enough to clean it, but every weekend, everything packed. We collected everybody's garbage.
Which park are you talking about?
Town Park.
Anyone who's using, the groups that are using that, they're coming through social media marketing that Riverside Rentals is doing independent of us. When you've got that big pile and they're coming out on the buses, maybe some, they're not coming because of our commercials. They're coming, those people are coming because Riverside Rentals has a package deal that gets you the bus trip, the hours on the river, and then I think Poblano's, at least last year, was doing their catering. And then
it seems like when I'm driving down and they clean their car out over there, and after every weekend, it's just full of trash.
Okay.
And why should the town be cleaning that out?
Because that's part of having a paid park staff and a park board and a park budget in a public park?
No.
What's the difference between that or if you have a Crone family reunion at the park?
We don't have them. That ends the day. Sorry.
Okay, what's the difference between my family having a family reunion and doing it? I, you know, whether it's my family or Kenny's family or Kevin's family, we can't control, we can say you are required to empty the trash, but unless you have an officer sitting down there, we can't enforce something like that. That's something the town, that's in the town's bailiwick anyway, not the county's.
Well, I will say the more people, the more trash.
Oh, yeah, and that's why we're working on this whole river signage program to try and the Adopt the River program to try to make sure that, that's being taken care of on a regular basis.
You drive down there every Sunday night, you know, all the containers are packed.
I'm sure they are. That means that people are using our public assets, making it, taking advantage of
the town is cleaning it up for you, right?
Why is... No, they're doing it for the county. I'm not sitting up there saying, hey, why don't you come down here? We're advertising it because we want people to spend money here. We want people to come here. We want people to like our community.
Brad, how much garbage you get on weekends?
We're busy on Saturday, but I can't say that it all comes from the park or the county. There's a lot out of county trash at this time, the transfer stations. All week long, actually.
You want to make a motion to get a letter? What do you want to do here?
Motion to table to next month. We've had enough time on it.
Motion here in a second.
I got a motion to second the table till the next meeting. All in favor say aye.
You guys know where to find me? Any questions? Yes, sir.
As long as you have a definite answer.
Yeah, by this time next month we should be doing it.
By this time next month, middle of the month.
I think so. I will check, and if I need to be on the agenda for the first, I'll do that, the first meeting, but okay. I think we should be good with this item because we're not starting the actual ads till April. And if we have to bump it, you know, take it out of the first week and move it to the third week where it's empty or something, because like I said, it's 10 weeks, but there are some gaps, and they'll work with us.
So if we give you notice by our second meeting,
we should
still give you...
I think so. Okay. I'll double check with them, but I think okay. So. And I will get that schedule for my... Yeah.
We'll check with some of the businesses to see if they would be willing to part of this bill.
Sure. I can't guarantee anyone, but I'm happy to make the rounds.
That's quite a bit of money.
Well, it is. It's budget. I mean, it was budgeted that way for a reason. But I will happily see if we can pass a hat on. Anything else?
I don't think there's anything else.
Otherwise, people are having a good time. I will admit that. And if we can make something good for them, let's do it. Let's not stand all the bill.
Okay. I'll see what we can do.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nathan.
Jerry, after the meeting, can I get your phone number so I can get a hold of you about that information?
214-0770.
Yes, sir. I think I've had yours since you were working the highway
office still. Brad?
Other than the annual reports, and just one other item I need to discuss.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Transfer station finished ahead of what it did last year, and the only difference we did was just adjust the bag price. Actually, we doubled the prices on the bags for bag drop only. It did increase the scale usage a little bit, but we still come out at an average of $85.25 per ton as a gross income versus last year it was $74.34 per ton. And we took in less tonnage, about 200 tons less this year. But the net income was greater than what it was last year, so I still say that the bag drop price increase was good. We did have a landfill increase this year about it over time, but I don't know that we need to adjust a price right yet. Our loads to the landfill were about 50 less because of the less tonnage, but also it was because we put in the new dumping station to the west with the taller containers, the 40-yard hoppers, and that's working out very well. The only thing that the state inspector said is we've got to have them covered, so I got to come up with some idea to cover them. Well, that'd be nice if we could roll tarp it, but I think we're probably going to use
a mesh.
Maybe a forklift and a frame mesh to set over the top of them. They're not wanting water to get through, but that's what his beef is, and I'm sure that's coming within the next couple months. So, the second page here is the recycling report. The tonnages and the money actually received was right on score with what it was last year, although we didn't have all of Braun plastic involved in it. There still is no market for that. Hopefully, I know the fuel prices are coming back up, which nobody likes to hear that, but that does drive plastic prices back up too. We do get paid for some of the plastics, but it's only a couple of the numbers, and it's not that great. And you can see most of the profits was definitely cardboard, and it was the Pratt Industries that I'm dealing with out of Valpo. So overall, I'm not unhappy with it. It's still pretty good for small communities where we are. And then the last page is the tonnages on the free stuff that we don't get paid for, the glass and electronics and tires. And the electronics has been crazy, but I think a lot of it comes from out of county too, but we don't get charged to dump it. Right, the Solid Waste District pays for that.
They don't charge you for the glass either?
No. And there's a place out in Annapolis that picks up the glass. So, and
you charge you for tire though.
Well, they charge us unless it's on the cleanup day. The cleanup day in July, we do not get charged. The Solid Waste District pays for that, and that was two trailer loads, so we did okay.
There. Eight.
Yeah, when I first started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, got any questions with that? That's, overall, I think it was really good for the transfer station, anyway. I got an issue with one of the forklifts. Actually, we've got two, but one of them has pneumatic tires and the other one's got hard rubber. I do have Crown Lift out of Fort Wayne coming to talk tomorrow. I'm going to try and see if I can get pneumatic tires for the one forklift because it's in good condition, but if not, I'd really like to trade with them and get one with pneumatic tires, so we can load trailers and get out on the gravel a lot easier. I would be using the money from the Solid Waste District. It wouldn't be coming out of the county budget. But before I do anything, I'll let you know what the cost for trade is and if I can find tires, what they're going to be.
How'd it come out with the other one?
I'm not done yet. I need to talk with him tomorrow. Lowry's are not doing anything for me, and Pioneer is not either, so I need to speak with Kevin tomorrow, too, before we go any farther with this.
I talked to you the other day, that's where I think I'd had this.
Yeah, I just plan on seeing him tomorrow.
There's a problem with that. Well, go ahead and tell him what's the problem. You got a motor problem.
Well, if you want me to, I mean, that's...
We can talk about it tomorrow, it's fine.
Yeah, I'd rather just... not put anybody on the spot. That's all I have, unless you get any questions for me.
Any question for him?
We don't have to go back and do business with them, do we?
We don't have to. No, we're not. I'm not going to do business with them, with Lowry's. Pioneer Engine is recommending that, but if you knew the whole conversation, it's just not good.
Well, if it's potential litigation, let's not talk about it here.
That's why I'm trying to remain silent on this for now.
Anything else?
That's it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
Ed?
I'm Edwin Buswell with the Kankakee Iroquois Regional Planning Commission. I'm not sure how familiar some of you might be with this. Our office is over in Monon. We serve 8 counties, including Pulaski County. One of the things that we is considered a rural planning organization for NDOT. So we get a grant from NDOT each year to provide transportation services to each of our counties. The main thing we do under that grant is traffic counting. So every 3 years we come in and do traffic counting in the county. Well, a couple years ago they asked us to start doing a countywide transportation plan for each of our counties. So we would like to do Pulaski County this year, so we're coming to you to let you know that we would like to do that. There's no charge to the county. We get the money from NDOT to do that service. This is Emily Allball. She's our planner on staff, so she'll give you a little information about what we'll be doing.
This is just kind of an overview of kind of what we're looking for in terms of a steering committee, because
thank you.
Yeah. So obviously we are going to need to put together a steering committee that is going to be able to provide us input to actually put this plan together. I always like to say I am not a transportation engineer. I am a planner. So this will look more of like a bird's eye perspective of what some of your transportation needs are, what areas of what issues are out there, and maybe look at just briefly some projects of interest that then you guys can go out and do further studies on. So on this sheet that I just handed you, it kind of gives you an idea of who should be on our steering committee. Ideally, we would like a representative from each of the communities in the county. Typically, that could be anyone from their town boards. Street superintendents are wonderful because they're going to know the ins and outs of what their road conditions are. County highway personnel, someone, if one of you would like to sit on the board, or someone from the council, that would also be great, just to be able to provide a little bit of governing body input into it. Someone from either area plan or zoning. It's great to have someone from the sheriff's department. Are you picking them out right now?
Oh, yeah. I got mine on about 3 of them. Maybe 4.
I think they're trying to hide.
They're all here. They find your name when they're gone. They'll be laughing, Doug.
And it's great if we can have someone from the sheriff's department, just so that they can provide us with maybe some crash data. It's a little difficult for us to get that information. So they kind of open our eyes to what some of those intersections of interest could be. Airport authority, if you have someone, if there's, I don't know how your airport is structured.
One employee.
Excellent.
They don't get very far.
So if they could be just to provide us, you know, information from their capital improvement plan and things like that. So that can also be included. I do understand you have a very active trail. So that would be wonderful if we could have somebody also from there to represent non-motorized transportation. And since the river is a huge thing. That is also great that we could be able to really play into that as well, especially on those ramp improvements and things like that. We can include that. So what a lot of people like to know, we're all busy people. We understand that. So how many meetings would we have? Typically 3 to 4. I like to basically call them information gathering sessions where we will come in. I ask that you typically block 2 hours per meeting, and I will literally pull as much information out of you during those times, and then I will put together drafts and everything, and then you guys, or whoever the steering committee would review those drafts digitally. And then we come back together again. So it's fairly smooth, but that way your time commitment is minimal. Other items that could help us start to kind of put together information, does the county have a current comprehensive plan or one of the last?
'09.
Okay. Do you have a digital one? That would be wonderful. And if any of the towns have a comprehensive plan or if they have done any, I know.
We can call them.
Yeah, and we can call and reach out to them. But I just wanted to kind of let you know if there's any planning type of information that might have anything to do with transportation. I did provide you, So I only printed 2 copies, but I do have this digital that I can email out to you guys. This is just a sample. This is the White County Transportation Plan that we completed last year. If you want to take a look at this one, and then I'll pass this on back. This kind of gives you this is the final product that you'll be able to see, kind of the overview of the process and the information that we actually included. We look at those intersections or projects of interest. We then go back to the information that we have from traffic counts in the area and are able to provide that information to you so you can really see some figures and things like that. But again, this is a very bird's eye perspective the overall county transportation. But you will see, we look at INDOT projects, we look at county projects, we look at individual town projects as well.
This is all provided by INDOT.
That's
right. Yeah, they
yes.
The reason they asked us to start doing these transportation plans for the county was that in the last federal highway bill that was passed, they changed the language that required states to do a little more coordination with counties than what they had been previously required to do. So this, if you're going to ever apply for any additional federal funds for highway, this goes to show that the project is a priority, that you've planned it and that you've thought out what sort of projects that
are the federal paid for. Do they pay 80% like they do for the federal aid for the bridges, or how do they do that?
Yeah, that'd be like a federal aid project if you applied for one. But if they change the programs.
What's your time frame? How long do you have to get your product done this year?
Yeah, it needs to be done by July.
By July, okay. Yeah. So we need a committee pretty quick then.
Yeah, we actually, with this one, we did this really quick. We actually had that done from the first meeting to the actual final product in 2 or 3 months. So
I got your list of names already. A lot of them sitting in here. And there's more than one.
So I will leave you some my contact information. That way, whatever the best way to get those names to me so I can start.
I can't handle that gentleman right behind you.
Yeah, he's on first on my list.
Yeah.
You are, Woody.
Yeah. Economic development, I left you off the list.
I noticed. Thank you. She actually has my old job, Penny.
Oh,
so there's a little bit of tension in hanging around.
Oh.
You kicked me out for her.
Thank you. Sorry.
All right.
That way, when those names pop into your head, you can just send them our way.
Oh, I want them now?
Yeah.
Ideally, how many people would you want?
I believe for White County we had 10 or 12. And that's usually a pretty decent, because it gives you a really nice, well-rounded representation of anybody in your county. I mean, it's great if you can get street superintendents on, and I can reach out to them, but it's also the same thing. I can call them and get there.
That's kind of mean.
I know. They're kind of wild. But I can reach out to them and get their updates. Typically with the towns, it's, you know, I like to know how many miles of resurfacing, how many feet of resurfacing are you going to do, major improvements, things like that. I mean, you can look in there and see what type of information we gather.
What inputs do you have with getting dealing with the state or county? Do you have a lot of power?
In terms of
getting things done,
like project-wise, or
I mean, we know a lot of people we can talk to.
We got the worst road east of 14 that's in the United States, and they won't be done.
I meet with them not once a year to go over our priority projects in other regions. So if you ever have projects you want me to discuss with them, just let me know.
State reps, where he lives, his highway's all paved. Yeah. That way's terrible.
You need to run for senator then.
Are there any other questions? Or
you guys have any questions for him? How soon do you need to know the names? I mean,
if you can get those to me within a week, yeah, 2 weeks, that would be great. That way I can start having conversation with them to get a meeting schedule set up.
We can give you some names.
I understand that.
They know they're all crowd.
I know. I think they're all hiding back there.
How often will these meetings be again?
There will be 3 to 4. So, and I typically schedule them every 3 weeks,
I believe.
We have. Yeah. Right. So I'll have the first 2 meetings, which are my essential information gathering. We'll look at doing a needs analysis, look at looking at your issues and your priorities, and then I'll take that information and we'll develop our goals. We'll go through our goals and objectives. So those meetings are pretty close together, about 2 weeks apart, and then I'll give you guys basically a month off while I'm getting the information put together. I'll send you a digital draft. You'll read it, give me some feedback, then we'll meet again to go over the corrective or second draft.
So you want to have this done by July, the way I understood it?
Oh, yeah.
So you'll need to start as quick as we can get you the names.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I know we have some new commissioners, so if anybody would like to hear more about what CURPSI does, I'd be glad to meet individually with you or come to another meeting and discuss.
From what I've seen, Buffalo area, moving on all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. But we'd be glad to discuss whatever you do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll get that to you.
Thank you.
Christy.
Hello. I'm here on behalf of the election board tonight. Every year we get an annual maintenance agreement from Microvote, who's the company that we get our voting machines from, for the software upgrades and that kind of thing. This isn't anything out of the ordinary. It's something that we've done every year. The only difference is this year they have put in a term of 4 years instead of 1 year. Fixes the price at $12,000 per year, which is budgeted in the election board budget every year. So this is just a technicality of having to sign off on this so that they get us our updates. We comply with the state law changes and stuff when it comes to voting and that sort of thing. Just something that I have to have the commissioner sign off on. So.
Okay. You got
the. Is this the official one that you gave me that I'll have them sign?
Yeah, that's fine.
To approve the 4-year contract.
Do all 3 of them need to sign it?
Just one needs to.
Okay.
I'll second. I got a motion and a second to sign the contract. All in favor of the signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And then just a quick note, I have not gotten anything to Nikki yet as far as concerns from my office that I will be working on that to get them to her soon. So. Laura, I'll just get that from you tomorrow, if that's okay.
I won't be in tomorrow, but I'll get it for you.
Okay. Oh, that'll be fine. So, yep, that's no problem. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Well, that's you. Deborah O'Neill.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
My name is Deborah O'Neill, and I come from Oak Lawn, Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago. My husband is 55, I'm 50, and my girls will be graduating high school in about 10 years, at which time we're looking to retire. 2008 decimated our retirement account, and so we're looking to open a small campground to take us through our golden years. It's a low-maintenance business. You basically, once it's put together, you basically ride a lawnmower and shake a lot of hay. We've been looking into some property, and I know it's the Monterey Resort area. The town of Monterey proper is bordered on the north by the Tippecanoe River. North of the Tippecanoe River, just below the Stark County line, there's an area of property. There's one street in there named Capitol, but you have several others slated. This piece of land has been chopped into a bunch of little legal sections, 25 foot long by 125 foot deep, in basically rows of blocks. Someone at some time had the wonderful idea of putting in a bunch of little mobile homes there. Unfortunately, the land floods a lot. It might not be the best place to build, but it would be excellent for an RV park. You basically would have some infrastructure. You could go higher up towards the middle of the campground where it stays drier. People have the option of pulling it out because there are RVs, and you should drive them away from the flood.
Now, is that Capitol Avenue you're talking about?
That is Capitol Avenue.
Do you know how bad that floods?
I've heard that it floods
it
pretty
high. It does, I know for a fact.
Now, on the map, it's slated that there's like a middle piece of road that doesn't actually exist, but it's supposed to be there.
It goes back, clear back to the river. It did at one time when I worked for the highway department.
It goes clear back to the river, that's right. But from the river back up towards the road, do you know how high the water gets?
It gets pretty high.
Because I'm looking about the center of the camp. I'm not looking to go down
it'll
the river.
It'll get 2 to 3 foot deep in there, for almost to the road.
Almost to the road.
So where that rise starts coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, really, well.
So you probably need to talk to somebody, I'd say, Kevin, that's with the floodplain before she'll have done anything looking-wise, or...
Is it flood from the river out?
Yeah.
Because I was talking
it
to...
It backs up from the river and comes up in now.
Because I was talking to Clinton, and Clinton
no,
was said...
No, it's entirely part of it, then.
No, there's no touch river bottom is what it is, eventually.
Okay,
there is a few houses back in there. We went back to save a fellow one time. He wouldn't leave the house. He wouldn't come
really?
Out. We took a loader back in there. When it got over the top of the tires, we backed out.
Yeah, because I know there are a few houses back up in there. I know the ones by the down by the washer.
Boy,
like it's really
that's the one he was in.
And there's one right off the waterfront that the guy there's a guy still up there living in. You know, I hear it doesn't flood like that often. I hear that happens from time to time. And, you know...
You weren't going to have permit, right? You're just going to have a camp.
We're talking RVs, RVs. Not even mobile homes. Not even, you know, permanently affixed mobile homes that basically become homes once you attach them. We're talking RVs that you drive in and drive out. Because we ourselves are RV camp. It's a seasonal kind of thing. You know, you basically do it from, like, May through October, and then you winterize. And where we're at now in western Illinois, we leave ours parked there all year. And we're right off the Hennepin Canal, which it does flood like half the campground, but we're up in the drier section. You know, and like I said, I was talking to Quentin. He said a little bit higher up it should be okay. The RVs should be fine up there. Down by the river, though, you know, and especially in certain years, you get deep.
Right,
I'm not, I, from what I understand, though, it's not every year. It's from time to time that you get the deep ones.
Depends on how much it rains.
Yeah, well, as any property along the river does. But the problem is most of these properties are held by the county. It's divided, I don't know, into like maybe 400 of these little onion slices, 25 by 125. And there is probably like 360 of them in the county's name in various forms. Commissioner's Office of Pulaski County, Pulaski County's Commissioner's Office, a million different ways of saying Commissioner's Office. I was looking at some section right from Capitol Avenue, right from the middle there, on down like over by where that hunting cabin is.
Right.
You know, not all the way down the river, but about halfway down that like first and second block there. These pieces are so small that it takes 14 of them to make an acre. And each one is taxed between $5 and $7 a year. I mean, they're little tiny pieces of property. And I was looking at purchasing about 120 of them, which totals like around 8.5 acres, and unifying them into one solid thing. And like I said, then at that point going through rezoning and then getting the engineer out there to map out wells and septic and set up an RV park out there. I think it would be very good for the town of Monterey. They could sure use some business around there. You know, it's right there on the county line, so, you know, it's accessible, definitely. And like I said, I am aware of the flooding, especially down lower.
I want you to be aware of that.
Oh, yeah, especially down lower. There are some that are actually still underwater and probably have been since that last big flood you had. But yeah, this is more up towards the middle. We actually rode up in there, so, I mean, I think it'll be viable for an RV park. I wouldn't build there, but to park an RV there, you know, you always have time to call people, hey, high water, you know, come get your RV out. There's also some land going up on your county commissioner's office auction the 26th of this month.
Is that in the same area where that other is?
It's in the Monterey Resort area, but it's more up near the road. $25 minimum bid, but like I said, not exactly got people bounding out the doors with them. But, you know, that would also, I was thinking about purchasing those up because that would give like a staging area for people to move their RVs to if they have to.
Only a couple things that come to mind. Number one, we need to look into any liability there is to selling ground that isn't a floodplain. Look into that. Number two, August has back taxes due on it.
Not anymore. Some of these you've held for 13 years, some of them for 10 years, some of them have been off your books for 7 years. Right. Like I said, all these little slices, and they've been off the books for so long, they've been tax exempt for so long, no one wanted them on county sale. Unwanted property.
All right. And then I am positive we could sell them, but I need to look at the proper procedure for doing so. So if you have your contact information, I can give
you Kathy actually took it all. She actually probably even gave you a map of the areas because I've been talking to Kathy in the commissioner's office.
Elston, probably.
I've been speaking to Quentin and Chance also in the planning office, so they're all aware of this. They've got the maps. I mean, you know, they, a lot of people very much on board with it because the town really could use the business. It would bring in shoppers for milk and, you know, and all of that.
Sure.
Okay? Okay. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you very much for your time. You have a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Janet, you're next.
Decide before the next meeting.
I just wanted to give you the report. I think you all have it with you, and since we're kind of running long here this evening, if you would just take a chance to read it over, and after you've looked it over, stop by the office or stop by and ask me any questions that you might have to.
Okay, anything else for us, Jen?
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sure, you're next.
Yeah, that's sure.
Hmm?
That's sure.
Mine ain't got that on there.
Sorry.
I didn't get to revise it. Mike, you want to come out?
Finally, I should have stolen your copy when I made the copy.
Yeah, you give me the wrong copy. I bought the one you gave me today.
Oh.
Sorry.
I just wanted to advise you so that you're not at the last minute learning about it. We're applying for the second phase of the grant that Natalie Daly-Federer works off of. She's actually implementing the JDI plan tomorrow, in the commissioner's room with our steering committee, and I think that you were all invited to the kickoff, at least Bud was, I'm sure. I don't think any of you made it. So JDI is an alternative detention initiative program sponsored by the Supreme Court. And so I just brought some documents so you're not blindsided by what we're doing. And this is our welcome letter for Justice David of the Indiana Supreme Court. And I only give you that because it has all the collaborative agencies in Indiana that's working together. These grants are provided by the Indiana Department of Corrections from money that the legislature sets aside to the Indiana Department of Corrections. So essentially, Natalie is working off of this grant, and they provided money for equipment to start up with, and they basically provide money for her, and then they provide $5,000 a year for implementation, such as meetings, hotel bills, and all that sort of thing. So I set up Natalie's an independent contractor, so it doesn't cost the county for any for benefits. It doesn't cost the county for Social Security match or anything. So she's under this program, but we do have a deadline of the 24th of this month. She's been working feverishly on that grant, and I only brought it to your attention because your auditor asked me today what will happen if the money runs out at the end of the 2 years. Well, you know, we never know. Hopefully we're up and running with the skills. There's 8 core strategies to this program. It basically comes out of Washington, D.C. from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. And it's, and in a nutshell, as Justice David says, it's to the right place for the right time, amount of time for the right kid for the right reason. And so when we're talking about detention, otherwise secure detention comes out of the county's budget of about $150 a day. So we're looking for alternatives to that. We're working closely with CAS, Plaski Community Corrections Program, which we've been in and the county has never funded at all, but that's pretty much self-funded and through the Department of Corrections. So Dave Wagner is looking at getting some GPS monitoring for kids who don't have to go through placement. So we're working up a program where they would be analyzed under certain standards. I think the prosecutor's office is on board with this through Crystal, more than Dan probably, but he's of the old school. No, but so, and I ran you a copy of the entire grant so you can look it over. I mean, this is what Natalie's working on. It's going to be approved by our county's coordinator with the JDI program, but that will give you an idea because the auditor has to sign it because she receives the monies. But the old grant is in there. We delivered everything and all the terms and the full document, and that's what she's been working out of. I just want you to know we're applying for the second year. In addition to Natalie's salary and that $5,000 for expenses, we're also asking, they make another $30,000 available, and we're asking for that for a mentoring program to start within the schools. And something that might, the Sheriff's Department might be asked to cooperate in is called Policing the Teen Brain, which we try to educate officials and personnel and other people on how to approach juveniles that's not so confrontational, because juveniles' brains work a little bit different. They don't mature until about age 23. That's why they do so many stupid things.
Never.
Do
they mature at that point?
You got one
more like
that. Yeah. Well, you got out of your back pocket, buddy.
Right. You're 23 now. Tell them.
Well, some say 25, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
So I just don't want you to get blindsided because she's going to be asked to sign that as the recipient to hold the money, and then we process all the grants. But basically, Natalie does all the work, you know, and she's pretty good at grant writing and so forth. But I just as a courtesy, I wanted to come tell you, not spring her on at last minute, here, sign this, like I did Sheila.
Thank you.
Motion in. No, because I'm going to bring in your grant down and ask her to sign it, and you look at it, and if you're comfortable with it, or Kevin can look at it, but it's really fine. It's 27 pages, so I mean that's collecting a lot of data, working closely with the probation department, and so basically, you know, hopefully save the money from the county from secure detention monies, and also do a good job with juveniles. So.
Good.
We just spent 7 times 160 housing a kid in South Bend, so that's what we're trying to work on. It costs $160 a day if I put a child in secure detention.
Wow. Well, it's a juvenile comes to front of him, and they
he can't send them home. They go to the Thomas and Frederick Center up there.
Or the park.
And how long do they keep them?
Well, we usually use it for a temporary holding until we can get something done. Like, kid goes off in the middle of the night and hits his grandpa in the chest or something. Well, that might be able to be dealt with a different way. And that's what Natalie's starting with, is to work up with the prosecutor's input, the community input, parents' input, child's input, to create what we call a DRE, which will be our standards on what kind of placement we're using. And then there will be an override for the judge or the probation department. But try to look at data and get something that's sensible.
There you go.
Is this a copy? Is this a soft
that,
copy?
You can keep all that, but I just use sort of
papers.
Thank you.
Thank you. All
right, now, Sheriff, you can come up. Wait a minute, we got somebody else.
You must have been up here this time.
Is this one appointed to that board right now?
No, I already got the list.
That sounds like mine's pretty easy. I just got to flip some buttons on the computer and get us some data. Don't need me sitting there looking at it. Hey, I don't really have anything other than to kind of bring you up to snuff what we're doing. Did you want to talk about this 911 thing yet with them as far as the fees?
I spoke to, you're talking about the fact that the town's issue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're a little premature. I just didn't want to
be sitting on something and then they hear about it.
Well, I had a conversation, a couple of them, with what Sheriff's alluding to is that him and I went over and met with the town. You may have seen in the paper, the town said we're not taking in our $30,000 or $34,000, what it was, towards the 911 center. That kind of happened very fast. We went over for one meeting, and then that was their next meeting. They said they're not paying it. Well, we said we really got the data. Sheriff's given me quite a bit of data. I've had a conversation with the town attorney, Mr. Schramm, trying to lay out for him justification for. Basically, they felt like why are we paying and nobody else is paying in this 911 fund? And basically, we're going to write up something to explain to them why we think that is a reasonable request. So that sums it up.
Okay. Yeah, just wanted you to know about in case I assumed that you would have seen the paper.
Yeah, you can miss out.
Oh, yeah, you don't miss nothing.
That's all right. And then I just wanted to bring you up the deputies have been busy. They're working on a huge case of stolen stuff from all over the state, really. It's Michigan, every county that surrounds us, Kosciuszko County, Noble County, Steuben County. The FBI was down here at the beginning of the week. I'm going to loan them Sergeant Rogers for a month, and they're going to pay his overtime to kind of put the finishing touches on this case. Most of the stuff wasn't stolen here, but almost all the suspects live here. So it might work out good for us to run these people through the federal mill and maybe get them out of here for a while. So hopefully that all works out, but I go with Fred up there tomorrow and he gets sworn in as a FBI agent and a U.S. Marshal, and they'll pay any of his overtime. So that'll be a good deal for us and something exciting for him, I'm sure. The other thing I want to talk to you about is interesting. The judge talked about housing juveniles. We're sitting on a guy right now that's down at DOC that we're paying $100 a day on. I talked to the prosecutor about getting him back, and I just wanted to let you know, that he's been here 2 months, so it's $6,000. I can absorb that for a while, but it'll eventually, if we don't get him back.
He's a juvenile on?
No, this is an adult that had some mental health issues, and we had a hearing. This guy would not take his medicine, so we had a hearing to... our health care provider has a doctor that comes in. He said, hey, we just got to have the judge sign this paper. And the judge didn't want to sign any papers and force this guy into medicine, so he shipped him down to the DOC, which they did what we would have done. We held him down and gave him a shot, and, but they done that, and we're paying $100 a day. So I just wanted you to be aware of that.
We got a place we can put him if you bring him back here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got room for him. And, he's doing very well down there. Once the guy's on his medicine, he's good. You know, it's a matter of if he was off of it when he got in trouble, and it takes a shot to get him back to where he needs to be. And so, well, several shots. He'd probably get a shot a day for the week. He had to hold him down, give him a shot. But. So that's where we're at with this guy. I did want to, I think I'll bring that up in a later date, is maybe using some of the jail facility to do a fundraiser. And I just want to get you guys on board with that and see if it was something that you cared if we did. So I'll talk about that another time.
They like their loved ones or what?
No, we're going to do a breakfast thing and try to raise some money for the scholarship fund for the sheriff's office. So. maybe we could, but we have spit jail space for spouses and
raise money.
We have the whole sheriff's office now on online training. We're getting, you know, the jail, the dispatch center, and the deputies all do online training now that I think is pretty beneficial and pretty cost effective. We don't have to send anybody anywhere. They all have computers and they can do a lot of their training that's required every year online. The reserve program is the other thing I wanted to say to you. We're starting the reserve program up. It's a little expensive to begin with. We sent four guys to instructor development. That doesn't mean much to you, but to get academy accredited hours, the people that train them have to be trained. And so we've got that done. We're going to send two guys to the firearm school. So eventually when Barney and I are gone, we'll have people there that can do the firearms training for the county, and we won't have to send people out for that. Just kind of looking to the future. Like I said, it's a little expensive at the beginning with some overtime and stuff, but I think the reserve program will pay off in the end, where once these guys are up to snuff, they'll be able to sit in on a shift for somebody, and we can get the deputies their time off without having to pay somebody else overtime to do that. So I'm looking forward to that. We've got five that are kind of in the program now that's been going through this course. They'll go again this weekend to do their defensive tactics and some firearm training, and there'll be some right with the deputies to get them where we want them to be. The jail doors are done. We're housing inmates now for Howard County. We're one of the few jails that aren't stuffed to the gills, so it's kind of nice to get some of these people. And what happens there is Howard County pays us $35 a day to house inmates for them. And so, you know, if the jail cell's sitting there empty, it's good to have somebody in there, especially when somebody else is paying that bill. So we try to do that as much as we can, and you know, we don't have to ask for any additionals now because the council budget's for 90 people, and we're close to 80 now, so we're still under that budget, so that'll work good. The vehicles have been ordered. We expect those the first two to be in by the end of February, I think. And the other one that we're using the commissary money for, we've got that, those ordered also. So. All right, that's it. Unless you got questions for me.
Have you guys got any questions for the sheriff? I'm just curious. These emergency buttons, do you get a lot of calls on them?
Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about, the button in each office?
No, people.
Oh, yeah, we do get some of those calls. I don't know that we get a lot. I'll tell you one call that you might want to look at for an ordinance. We've kind of got some numbers on that the first year, and I just not really had time to look at it again. But we go on a lot of alarm calls. I mean, a lot of them. And several counties around have a ordinance, and most of them, 95% of them, but are false calls. But, you know, a deputy goes out there and the wind's blowing the door or something like that. Somebody just hasn't has a broken alarm, they don't fix it. Well, there's several counties that have come up with an ordinance that, you know, you get one of those for free, and then the second one, there's a fee that you pay for us to have to run out there and say, you know, get your alarm fixed. So
how does that work? Is the alarm wired into that?
Most of them go to a call center, and then the call center calls us.
Okay.
Okay. There's a few that are wired in, but most of them go to a call center. I got the numbers for you if that's something you guys are interested in.
I'm looking into it.
It's a significant amount of calls that we go on that where you get there, wind's blowing or some kind of defect with their alarm. And I can get you those numbers, Kevin. I had them from the first year in office, and we just haven't really had time to do much with it yet. But you're talking about that, where somebody falls over and they push those. We get some of those, bud, but...
I'm just curious.
I give you our numbers, but, you know, the deputies go on about 15,000 calls a year. And the town of Winnemac is about a fourth of that. The other towns are a lot smaller. I will say, so Monterey gets their credit. Monterey does chip in. They were paying $1,500, and they doubled this year and paid $3,000. You know, the only thing we dispatched from Monterey is the fire department there. I think they were under 400 calls, if I remember right. So it's pretty minimal. But Monterey does pay.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, well, yeah. Are you guys over here? Okay, so I'm going to show
you. All right, you guys all ready in minutes? You got to approve and sign the minutes for the meeting for January 13th.
Motion to approve the minutes.
I got a motion and a second, and all in favor of a signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, slow down.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, that's the minutes to the regular meeting, right?
Right.
I'm going to pass this down and just go ahead and sign this now. Yes, it's executive. Did you make a motion for that one?
No, not yet.
Okay.
All right, we got to approve and sign the executive session minutes and joint meeting.
Make a motion to approve.
Second. Got a motion and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
And this is the minutes to the joint session of the council that needs to be
submitted. Oh, we done that on one motion.
You did the meeting minutes and
well,
then the
executive minutes and the joint meeting. You've done that on one motion.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Oop. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Next, we have to approve and sign the payroll and claims.
Make a motion.
I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
We'll wait until after to sign the claims that you approved.
Hmm?
You want the claims now, or do you want to wait until after you adjourn to sign?
Yeah, well, we just wait till after.
Okay, that's a good idea because there's a lot.
Yeah, because there's a lot. All right, we need to approve and sign the 2016 wage and compensation statement.
Well, here's wage and compensation.
That's for the payroll from last year. Need a motion.
Make a motion.
I'll second it. Motion and a second. All the signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. We might got a little carried away.
Okay.
All right, old business. Drug tests.
Did you want to discuss that? Kevin sent everyone an email on that when you asked those questions. Did you want to discuss it further?
We had looked at the part of the policy. There's a lot of raised a question at the last meeting about testing after an accident and what the policy was, and I reviewed it, and essentially me and I was saying, this is what the policy is, and we want us to look at beefing that up, maybe that a little bit more strict. Right now it's completely at the... it's completely up to the department head whether they test it or not. There aren't any set criteria to say, in this circumstance, you must get a test. Now, our CDL people...
I was saying, it used to be CDL people had to have a...
Well, they do, because they're governed by state rules.
Okay.
This would be our own policy within that. So, other people that... We have other people that drive vehicles that are not CDL, so they're not following those rules. And we have other situations, perhaps, that you might want to see if we can test out. Now, there's going to be costs for that. We farm that out to Briggs Cross Street, and she does the testing. So it'll be, you have to have some sort of a budget for that if you're going to increase the amount of testing you do.
So they don't do it now. I mean, the people that drive, like the ambulances and stuff like that, the sheriff's department, do they have drug testing for...
If they have a CDL in there, they follow the those rules.
Well, and now, aren't they transporting prisoners and stuff, and aren't they transporting EMS? Don't they have to have a chauffeur's license?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. And whether or not that would require testing, I don't know the answer to that either.
Well, that'd be part of a CDL. You don't?
No. And my, if I can add, what I did was, and I just seen that and carry on top, but anyway, what I did is, we have people hit a deer, and so, I don't...
Well, that'd be a little different,
for a drug test, but we had, the accident, this last accident was definitely, we took him to the hospital to drug test him. So, the way I was kind of looking at it is if it was a serious accident, we'd drug test him. If it was some kind of minor intervention, then we didn't drug test him.
And, so what he's, and that's the way the policy business is up to the department head, center discretion. In that case, Jeff wanted testing, so we got it done. But you could have a situation at recycling where somebody gets a finger cut off. Or something, you have an accident, but there's no mandatory testing of the people that are involved right now. So you can get testing done. The policy gives them the power to have those people tested, but you're leaving it to their discretion. There's no black and white that says in this circumstance they get tested or who gets tested. So that's something that we want to consider modifying or not.
Make a motion to give Kevin permission to proceed on this. Yes.
All right. I'll second. Got a motion and a second. All the things signify by saying aye.
Aye. All right. So, what I took that motion as, I'll draft something different and then you can consider it. You take it to the House Committee and consider it modified.
It's certain people, if they have a right.
Who's that? Star guy?
It's certain.
Oh, that's certain. Sorry. If they're in a wreck.
Yeah. Should they be this?
I don't think the county has any authority.
Yeah, we provide Head Start with a check, I think, every year, but not directly even. I think we have zero control over their employees.
But that would actually be a question for Edwin, because Head Start is actually governed out of Kirk's office here in my back. So, and there's actually
a Head Start director at the CRPC office. So that might be a question.
Yeah, CRPC provides all the transportation for Head Start. So he would be able to answer that. They don't know what their policies are, but we don't. They're not our employees. So.
All right. And I'd like to make a motion to have an executive board meeting. We're sitting here tonight, and we don't have the proper things on our pads. We've got no response today. I think we need to have a public executive meeting, because mine has been a stuff Laura sent me today, and I haven't had anything for her for 2 weeks. And these guys did.
Well, he straightened ours out today. We jumped him about it because we didn't have no. I couldn't reply to nobody. I got some emails and I didn't get them all. And he was supposed to fix our two. So I don't know. Did you tell him yours wasn't working either?
I told him. He said, "Well, you didn't come and see me." I think he worked for the commissioners, and he knew it hadn't been working.
Well, anytime anybody wants an executive session, we just tell the auditor to give 48 hours notice and we can schedule it. You don't have to make a motion at a public hearing about what you're going to do.
Withdraw it. Okay.
Withdraw the motion.
All right. Other old business. Appointments that we didn't make last week or last time, because we had a few that were. We had a few people that had been deceased and some people that wanted off. All right, the first one we're going to do is we'll just do them all and make the motion at the end. Is that the way you want to do it? All right. Alcoholic Beverage Board Commissioner's appointee would be Carol Lang. You still want the job?
Yes.
Well, not for the $20 a month you get.
All right. 1975.
That's too much. Cut you down to 15. You don't need it. All right. Arrowhead RC&D. It's a 1-year term. Commissioner's appointee, replacing Terry Young, with Jerry Locke. Aviation Board. The replacement for Floyd Padel. They've asked us to table that until they can make a recommendation to replace Floyd. Russell Finnegan will be replaced by Quentin Blount. That's 4-year term. All right, the Board of Health, 4-year term. Chad Watts and Tim Murray need to be reappointed. Community Development Commission, 3-year appointment. Commissioner's personal representative was Larry Brady. It'll now be Laura Wheeler.
Laura, I will have a nice big packet of information.
Thank you.
Oh,
that's
boy.
What I need, isn't it?
Just something else you need, right?
Just something else I need.
All right, Emergency Management Agency Advisory Board. All right. Board member for the commissioners, that's be the president, which will be myself. Terry Hansen, they would like to, she needs to be reappointed as president, right?
Well, she is the president.
She is the president, but they want her reappointed as the president of the Emergency Management Agency. Then we have the Floodplain Management Commission. All right, the commissioner's representative will be Doug Hoover. Jerry Sullivan, and the board member for the other board member replacing Terry Young will be Terry Ruff.
Thank you, sir.
I'll see you get a raise.
That was
a big sigh, wasn't it? I didn't have the other one.
Now, I don't know if you wanted to call him or not, but if you don't, you know, if you go.
All right, the Four County Mental Health Board, we're going to table that one until the next one. Industrial Park Board, 4-year term. Representing was Art Huffman. And Brad Bunnell.
Is he still here?
No, he's not.
Brad said he would be good. Art seems, Art does not want to do it again. And
okay.
You said you weren't getting emails. Their Indiana code is really specific on who that person can be. We need to find somebody who is a representative of organized labor from the building trade. So basically a union carpenter, union plumber, union electrician, something like that. The code does not explicitly say it has to be a resident of the county. So if we have somebody in a nearby county who would be interested, we can do that. But so you probably want to table that till we can find somebody.
Do you have any recommendation?
Not yet. Okay. No. That's kind of like Pulaski County. It's tough to find union employees.
We'll table that until we go further. All right, the Kankakee Iroquois Regional Planning Commission. All right, Bud Crone Jr. and Nathan Oringer. Kankakee Iroquois Regional Planning Transportation Advisory. Be Gary Kruger and myself. Workforce Innovation, local elected officials. Commissioner's representative, one return will have to be me. Workforce Innovation Investment Board. We were tabling that for what reason?
The chamber nominates those people, okay. And so we have to wait for the chamber to make their nomination, I'm assuming.
Why are they left?
I will explain off the record.
Okay. All right. We got the LEPC board, one term, commissioner's appointee, replacing Terry Young will be Jerry Locke. Northwest Indiana Solid Waste District board, commissioner's representative, replacing Larry, will be myself. Commissioner's alternative representative will be Jerry Locke. The council's alternative representative will be Bud Crone Jr., and the other one will have to be made by the town of probably Madarieville, which was Mark Herring, which is deceased. So we'll have to get somebody from Madarieville to take his spot. Mark Herring. Used to work for the state, couldn't see. Northwest Indiana Solid Waste District Citizens Advisory Board, until they're replaced. All right, Jeff Lindback has to be taken off. Mick Weldon will be taking his spot. Commissioner's appointee will be myself. Next, we have Property Tax Assessment Board of Appeals. Board member replacing Jerry Sullivan Sr. will be Dave Chambers. The other one that was up this year is Stanley Benning, which will be reappointed. Library Board. For Ethan Plaskey. Wait a minute.
I think you have to do that one.
Okay. Well, I ain't got my right paper, the one you give me.
Sorry.
The Welfare Child Protection Team has to be the president of the commissioners, which will be myself. And actually, Wanamack Planning Commission, no term limit. The county commissioner's appointee will be Jerry Locke. Pulaski County Community Planning Commission. County Commissioner, Democrat appointee, Matt Roush. Republican appointee will be Darren Wagner. Commissioner's appointment will be Jerry Locke. Why would we table on that one, Pulaski?
Because I didn't have enough time, I couldn't get the accurate information on it. But I think we changed that, didn't we? Did you say you?
We can do that. Pulaski County Integrated Public Safety Commission. The Health Department will be Terry Hansen. Fire Department will be Tim Weitrich from Francisville. Fire Department from Monterey will be Doug Clossing. Hospital and EMS will be Deb McDonald. Public will be Howard Connor. Sheriff will be Jeff Richwine. Board of the Commissioners will be myself. County Council will be Tom Roth. And the EMA will be Sherry Gaylord. Francisville Salem Township Public Library Board. Reappointed will be Brenda Finnegan. Star City Community District Sewer Board. No, wait a minute. That gets done by the town of Winnemac. That's what it says.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that one. Plaskett County Public Defenders Board. Sherry Beach will be reappointed to that board. The ADA Committee until they resign.
You're going to retain her, aren't you?
Hmm?
I said the last we talked, she was going to be retained on that reappointment.
Yeah, although we need one.
Yes.
We need one for the commissioner's appointee. Do you want to do that? Be Bud Crone. The other one up this year with the commissioner's appointee will be Emily Heiser. District Planning Council. Commissioner's appointee. We don't have a Jerry. You want to be on that? Be Jerry Locke. And that'll be all the appointments. So I have a motion to...
Motion to approve all these?
I approve everyone but the ones we table until we find recipients for that spot.
Maybe one. How many ones are taken?
You said you made a motion to accept them. Is that what you said?
Did you make a motion to accept them?
Yeah.
I'll second.
We have a motion and second. All but signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
There's one committee that isn't on that. We have a personnel policy committee that basically meets every, well, we're going to be meeting fairly soon, but sometimes we meet more often than not when we're going to modify the book. And Larry Brady was on there, so we need one of you three to sit on that board.
Who all was on that board tonight?
You're on it.
Okay.
Two council members, which I'm not sure if we still have. Then it was Roger, Terry, okay. Then you, and
put Mr. Boswell on there.
Put
Jen
on there.
She
wants to do
okay.
It.
He's the only one that showed up tonight, so he's a guinea pig.
And if there's an opening, I'm not sure if there is. I can't remember who else from the committee or the council's on there. It's two council members, a commissioner, the auditor, and myself.
You want to do that?
You want
if you don't mind, Bill.
I can be on that.
So you?
Me. Old business, payroll date, schedule approval. You seen it, bud?
Yeah, I seen it.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion.
I'll second it. Schedule. I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Conferences, you need to add S4, Glenda.
Actually, you approved mine last week, our last meeting. Okay. That's the next one. That's your joint meeting schedule that you need to approve.
All right, 2017 meeting schedule approval and joint meeting schedule.
So let's see, which one did I give you?
Sign it.
Oh, here's the meeting schedule.
Regular meeting schedule, is what you call it.
Yes, this is the regular meeting schedule, and then there's the joint council meeting schedule.
Are your motion? Nearly.
Yeah. Are there any changes from last year's schedule, or does it still follow the same?
What do you two want to adopt it, or?
The regular meeting schedule is the first Monday at 6 p.m. and the third Monday at 8 a.m.
Okay, so those
are set. Well, I was gonna tell you before we get this all done. I need a motion to accept them.
And except for July 3rd, which is the first Monday, and they're going to meet at 8 a.m. because of the holiday.
But he needs an oral motion to approve to accept the schedules of meetings.
I got a motion and a second to accept meetings. All signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Is that for both meeting schedules?
Right.
What's that? I think I'll check pretty soon.
Okay.
Next, we have conference request.
Yes.
Two from the Treasurer, Indiana County Treasurers Association, and the Auditor, the MVP Tax Orientation newly elected officials.
Yes, that's actually tomorrow.
Yeah.
And this is. And Nathan, what is this? Oh, this is your thing request. It's not a
correct.
It's not a. Never mind. Keep on.
Hey, Bud. Purdue is up 53-36.
Good. Okay. Yeah, the two treasurers are requested to go to either Indiana Treasurers. Indiana County
Treasurers Association, and the auditor is wanting to go to the MVP tax orientation for the newly elected officials.
Yes.
Do I have a motion for them to go?
I make a motion.
I got a motion and a second. All but signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Do you want to sign that?
I'm sorry, but I missed that motion.
Hmm?
I missed that motion on the.
Led made the motion, Jerry seconded. Next meeting will be Monday, February the 6th, 2017, at 6 p.m. Do we have anybody from the audience want to say anything? Carol, don't look us down.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I got a second.
I've got a motion to adjourn the meeting. I got a second. All signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Sherry, you need to stay in there. You stay here all night.
No, I was here just in case you guys had any questions about the DTC or any other.
Kenny, I tell you, the wonders of modern technology. I just learned all sorts of good things about you. How you slipped a bottle of liquor into Ted Bausch's coffin.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I had a girl downstairs that had a bad cough. She tell you about it? We didn't know. We didn't bring you. And I used to do a lot of drinking.
You might as well.
Half a gallon a day.
Hey!
6 days a week.